Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Fumble, myself, Vernon Kay, and the man with all the numbers, the facts and stats, Mr. Darren Fletcher. Darren, we are entering lockdown 2, the revenge. It's going to be tough on all of us, but firstly, our family well? Is everyone okay?
Yes, everything good this end. What about you?
Yeah, we're all good. Tessie's flying with Strictly. The kids are knuckling down at school, so I can't complain. Everything as it stands at the moment is all right. But one main concern, Darren, is that with lockdown and COVID, I'm hearing that we might not be able to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Crossy hit us with the bad news that he thinks that if you go, you've got to quarantine 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after, which makes it a month-long event, which I'm more than happy to be involved in.
Not a problem. It might be a problem at home, but once we're in Tampa Bay, that is not a problem.
Somehow Crossy's managed to turn this into a negative, but he seems to be quite positive from where I'm sitting at the moment. But I mean, we had such a good time last year, didn't we? And we were thinking it's in the same part of the world, it's in Florida again, so we know the weather's going to be okay. And, you know, we were strolling up and down Ocean Drive and all that kind of thing. So it would be a shame if we can't go. But I mean, I just kind of think bigger picture that that's kind of the least that anybody needs to be worrying about at the moment. You know, I'm thinking about everybody who can't go to work and they can't see their families. And I just hope that it does only last for a month, this, and we can come out the other side and get something in place for at least for Christmas. Because what worries me at this time of year, though, not getting too deep, is that this is the time of year where we're being told to stay away from people. But it's the time of the year where you need to reach out more. You know, there are a lot of vulnerable people at this time of year who need a helping hand and you need to keep an eye on them. We're being told we can't do that. So that's a big worry for me at the minute, that possible, so that people can be healthy for other reasons and that people can enjoy Christmas and all that. Families can get together. And I think if we can do that, that would be a good end to what's been a really difficult year for everybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. And obviously, you know, our thoughts are with everyone out there. But let's go back to Miami. I mean, those were good times, Darren. We had a proper laugh. You arrived a couple of days before the game. I arrived on game day. And I can just see it now, the sunshine, the atmosphere, the music blaring out from the bars and the restaurants. And I'll never forget that. That was an amazing experience. Just sat there. And then our producer, Simon Cross, gave us a microphone and went, right, off you go. And then it was like the Premier League, the Champions League commentator, Darren Fletcher, had arrived in the stadium painting pictures like Picasso. It was awesome. I'm like, I was just literally dumbstruck because I watch on a regular basis your Champions League stuff and the Premier League. And I just turned to you, I'm like, my jaw dropped. I'm like, oh my God, he's just flicked the commentary switch and off you went.
The game was great and we all kind of hoped that we'd see the coming out party at Super Bowl level for Patrick Mahomes, because I would have loved to have been in the stadium when Brady did it for the first time, when he beat
the Rams.
Because the first one's always the one where you think about it. So to be there for his first Super Bowl, and it won't be the last. You can't say that for sure, but I mean, as near as damn it, he's that good, he's going to get them there again. It might be this year. But to be there for the first one was really special. But one thing I've got a real memory about that was we stayed in a hotel, a small hotel, on almost like a paved area just off Ocean Drive. So we stayed kind of just off that, and everything was down there. That was where all the TV studios were and everything. And next door to the hotel, there was a bar, if you remember rightly.
I do.
Drink after the Super Bowl. There was a bar in there. But it was a cigar bar, wasn't it? Yeah. Never been in a cigar bar in my life. Don't smoke. Never smoked in my life, nor do you.
Of which there are many in Miami because of the Cuba connection.
But for some mad reason, we decided to sit in a cigar bar and neither of us smoked. So we sat there in the clouds of bloody plumes and stuff everywhere. And then Ed Reed walked in, didn't he? So the great Ed Reed walked into the cigar bar. Of course, Miami Hurricanes and Baltimore Ravens legend, Hall of Famer. But if ever you follow Ed Reed on Instagram, most of his pictures involve a cigar, don't they?
Oh, so, really?
Clearly huge on the cigar scene, Ed Reed. And he got a hat on, a really cool hat, and he got the beard, and he looked $1 million. And it was another one of those moments where I wanted to be the fanboy. But like you always say, just act like you belong. But I don't belong in a cigar bar. I don't belong there. I belong next to Ed Reed with you taking pictures. Not. But that was, I remember that. And it was literally, you walked out of that door and turned into our hotel, and there was the great Ed Reed on our doorstep.
It was so bizarre, because we were literally, our hotel was literally above the cigar bar and this kind of strip mall of restaurants and cafes and bars. And we just said, I remember we got back, we were a bit tired, and he said, come on, let's just go out for a beer. Just go and have a beer. So we went downstairs, literally turned left again, straight away into this bar. And there's the mighty Ed Reed. Now, being a free safety myself, I couldn't help but say something. And he was very courteous. I think he was a little bit tipsy, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I think him and our dear friend Ray Lewis, Ray loves a cigar. Because remember when the previous Super Bowl, not previous, but the one before that in Minnesota, where Ray was looking for a cigar.
I think if memory serves me correctly, Ray was smoking cigars in a bar where you weren't allowed to smoke cigars. But Ray Lewis, so he smoked them anyway, if memory serves me correctly. And I've not got a great memory about that night, as you know.
Going off on a tangent, Darren, and speaking of stadiums, here's one for you. You know the Cowboy Stadium has the massive Jumbotron, which is the full length of the field?
Yeah.
Right. You can hire some of the VIP suites in that stadium, and they allow you to use the Jumbotron. You can use that big telly. So if you're having a birthday party, let's say for your kids, you can plug in an Xbox and you can play Call of Duty on that.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Really?
You can. Yeah. They allow it for private functions. Now imagine with the sound system and that big screen playing Call of Duty. Oh my gosh.
Imagine that. I tell you what, it's that, for people who don't realise, it's that big. When I did Super Bowl 45 there, the year that Green Bay beat Pittsburgh, The black eyed peas came down on ropes off the top of it. They were literally stood on the top of it. I would suggest at the moment that the Jumbotron, whatever it's called, is actually more valuable than the Dallas Cowboys' current roster, if truth be known.
They are struggling. And it's topical, all right? Let's get involved. We're not mentioning it. We're not political in any way, shape or form. But the absolute cluster whatever that the American election is, right, and watching Donald Trump stand up to the podium, Donald Trump's complete denial of what's happening is exactly the same as Jerry Jones' complete denial that he's responsible for the failure of this Dallas Cowboys team.
You know what, that's a great point. That is a great point. I think Jerry might follow Donald into the Supreme Court to get the season annulled.
Yeah. He probably would try and blame someone apart from himself.
Donald walks out. Jerry walks in, bang.
Exactly, game over, done.
There's a lot of people listening to this podcast on the way to work or they're having a jog or whatever they're doing, and they're thinking, play Call of Duty on that big screen or FIFA on that big screen. Certain people thinking, well, the things you can do on that big screen if you're the right audience. You can genuinely hire it, can you? And do what you like.
Yes, wow. You can hire... You can hire the
kind of, no, I don't, I'm not having that. There has to be some kind of clause.
I will find a link.
Certain things on there.
Darren, you can't have...
You can do what you like with it.
Yeah, no. Listen, right. You cannot have 100 yards worth of penis going doing what 100 yards worth of penis would do on that jumbo.
No, there's a clean right? clause, is there? There's a clean, plenty of clean clause.
Yeah. There's got to be. I mean, right. You're in the most Christian state in America.
That's what I'm
you
thinking.
You can't... You can't put that on there. Not a chance. But here's something for you. So we have mutual friends who play our work in the NFL, right? And when your team arrives in that stadium, there's an unwritten rule amongst the guys that when the cheerleaders are on the Jumbotron, you do not look up.
Really?
You do not look up because wives and girlfriends are watching. So the cheerleaders come on and there's this huge big booty on the screen and players and coaches and assistants are all like gawping up at the at the Jumbotron.
Wow.
It's an unwritten rule. You do not look up when the cheerleaders are on because you'll get caught on TV.
Wow. I tell you what. Hey, just on the subject.
Hang on, what subject? Are we 100 pounds worth of penis?
The subject we actually started with was Miami, wasn't it? The Super Bowl in Miami.
So yeah.
This is back to Miami. I made the point at the start of the year that I thought the Dolphins would win 10 games this year.
You did indeed.
And I was laughed at. And we've got a WhatsApp group on our Winner Takes All Fantasy League. And I've been shouted down on there. Mike Holt in particular, one of the great producers for Fighting Talk, who works closely with Crossy. He's not having it at any price, starting to wave bets around and all sorts. But there they are, three on the spin. They've got a game this week now, which is winnable against the Cardinals. They've beaten the Rams. They've beaten the 49ers. Oh,
Darren, that's a big statement. A winnable game for Miami against the Cardinals.
The thing that holds them back is the fact they've changed quarterback. But
yeah,
they are a legitimate team. And over the next couple of years, provided Tua's any good, they will be a legitimate playoff contender in the AFC because they've got a fantastic head coach and they've accumulated decent players. And there's a real freshness about them. And I think they're a real feel-good story this year. And it's always great for the NFL fan because we've got a lot of Dolphins fans over here from the 80s and Dan Marino. So they're always a franchise that are popular in England. And I think we're potentially going to see the rebirth to a certain extent of the Dolphins, not to the great Don Shula days. But I think Brian Flores is quietly a really underestimated coach in the NFL. He'd learned from Belichick, brilliant career in New England, and now he's got his own gig. He's doing a fantastic job, and he did it last year with a really bad roster. They've got better players this year, so I'm really impressed. And that he might actually make me right this year for one.
Well, do you know what, Darren? Watching them literally dismantle the Rams at the weekend, I thought their defense was outstanding. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, Tua, yeah, he won his first game, but their offense didn't do anything. Their offense was a mere shadow of the Rams' offense. It was the Miami Dolphins' defense that won that game for them.
Special teams too.
Yeah, and I like the play calling on the defense, putting pressure on Jared Goff constantly, never giving him time to settle in the pocket, or he had no time to check down. It was always his first call in the pass. So That defense, if they can carry this offense for a couple more games and let Tua settle in, let him get his rhythm with his wide receivers, then I think you're right. I think 10 games isn't an impossibility. No. They can actually do it.
There could potentially be a playoff team this year. I think it's a good test against the Cardinals because the Cardinals are,
I think it is.
Are they? They're not one of the top four or five, but they're a playoff team potentially themselves. So I think it's a nice marker for them to see where they are. But I mean, they've beaten the Rams, they've beaten the 49ers, they pushed the Bills all the way. You know, had they executed a wee bit better against Buffalo, they might well have been a game better off than they are now and right in the thick of the division race. They've still got to play the Bills again. They've got some really winnable games towards the end of the year. I think they play Jacksonville, I think they've got Denver. They've got teams they can beat. There's a real chance. And I think it'd be great if they did. And it's almost like this weekend, normally you kind of say, who are you looking forward to seeing this week? And it's always the usual suspects, isn't it?
Yeah.
This week, the two games that jumped out to me were Dolphins at Cardinals, for the reasons I've just said, and Seattle at Buffalo. I mean, about that. I mean, wow. You're talking about, you know, two teams that you'd never go, can't wait to see them this week. But that's a really good game, 6-1 against 6-2. You know, I'm still not convinced how good both of them are, but I think they're both good. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they're not good, but I don't quite know how good And I think this is a really good game this week to work out how good both of them are. Whichever team wins that game is going to feel really good about itself.
We mentioned it either last week or the week before that Pete Carroll seems to have adopted the Kevin Keegan style of coaching, where as long as we score more points than them, I'm not bothered. Hopefully we concede. But he seems to have bolstered, or he's trying to bolster his defence this week with the trade deadline falling upon the NFL. Russell Wilson will be the league MVP. I've never seen him play out of his skin like he did this past weekend. He was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And we talk about arm strength in these. I guess you would call him a veteran of the NFL now, wouldn't you, Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
We talk, or you hear talk many times, of arm strength of these veteran quarterbacks, and he has not lost an inch, never mind a yard. No. I mean, he is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And I think he's got MVP prospect written all over him. DK Metcalf's coming through. Lockett's no joke. But I just think, I can't believe that we've gone from the era of the Legion of Doom with such a powerful defense that carried the Seahawks, let's be honest, to now a complete flip of the coin where Wilson is literally carrying the team on his shoulders and the defense is really struggling. Yeah. Ken Norton Jr. has got a job to do there.
Yeah, I think this is the mark of a great coach. And I think Pete Carroll will go in the Hall of Fame when he finishes. And I think when you see the great ones, they work out what they've got and then they play to that strength. So when he first came, it was all about the defensive backs and the speed on defense and the fact that you couldn't score on them. So they became a very good defensive team and a very conservative offense. And it was great, got them to a Super Bowl, they won one. You know, they did superbly well. But now the defense has lost a lot of the starters. Bobby Wagner is the only, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner are the two holdovers, and Bobby Wagner's one of the best in the business. But he's
let me just stop you there, Dan. I'm going off on a tangent, but it's relevant. Remember when you hosted the Seahawks event in London at the Grove Hotel?
Yes.
And Bobby Wagner just give you a death stare.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my gosh.
He did. He's quite an intimidating character, is Bobby Wagner.
Damn right.
He wants the confrontation, and you know that he wants it. So you're trying to avoid it at all costs. But in trying to avoid the confrontation, you end up confronting him. You can't help it. So what you think to yourself when you walk out, I could have said anything there and it would have been the wrong thing to say. He's that kind of guy. But he's got that look and you're thinking, wow, this is a serious dude. Bobby Wagner is a serious man.
I think you and I walked out of that conference room and we both agreed instantaneously that Bobby Wagner is quite close to being a psychopath.
Yes. You can see it in the eyes.
Yeah.
If I saw him on Unsolved Mysteries on one of those, wouldn't surprise me. Answer being Bobby Wagner. But what I was going to say was that now he's got great receivers. He's got a fantastic quarterback. He runs the ball okay. His offensive line's not brilliant. But he's gone from being this conservative win on defense and don't give it away on offense to being lights out on offense. And we can't stop anybody. I think that flexibility is brilliant for a head coach. If you can change like that, it really does show that you've got a fantastic mind. There's no reason why they can't get through the NFC. And I've got to say that I like a certain type of NFL player. I've always had a bit of a thing for defensive players. So I've always liked kind of me Mike Singletaries and me Lawrence Taylors and me Ray Lewis's and
the icons
kind of guys, you know? I like those kind of people. And when I think about the running backs that I liked, it was people like Riggins and Marshawn Lynch and that's the kind of NFL player that I like. But I find myself more and more drawn every week to DK Metcalf. Oh. All of a sudden going right into my top five NFL players that I love to watch. He's unbelievable. Size, speed, everything. And the fact that he's been involved in two of the most memorable plays of the year, one where he's had it knocked out of his hands crossing the goal line because he's showboating too early. And then a couple of weeks later, he chases down the defensive back who he's got no right to beat in a race and makes the tackle to prevent the touchdown. He looks undefendable at the minute. I look at him and think, if that ball's in the right place, with his size, he's like a faster Rob Gronkowski in a mad way. I mean, he's not quite as physical as him, but he's as physical as any wide receiver in the league that I can remember.
I guess he's as big as Randy Moss, but Randy Moss was skinnier, like height-wise.
I wouldn't have said this had I not seen him in the flesh. I was in a media centre on Radio Row at one of the Super Bowls. And I think Simon was with me. And Demaryius Thomas walked through the room.
Right.
And he was a giant. And I'd only ever seen him on the telly. And I said, who's that? Demaryius Thomas. I would have said defensive end. If Richard Dent would have walked through from the 85 Bears, you would have thought, that's the kind of build. And Demaryius, I looked at him, I thought, how do you guard him?
Yeah.
He's bigger than you, he's faster than you, he's taller than you, and he catches it better than you. And he knows where he's going and you don't. How do you stop that?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, wow, that is a specimen. That is Demaryius Thomas. That is all man. That is a very, very super talented, wonderfully gifted, physically and ability-wise, NFL wide receiver. And presuming that DK Metcalf would probably blow me away in a similar fashion if I saw him without the pads on, etc.
Yeah, I just hope that as his firm and as his star rises, shall we say, I think he's got... there's something about him where I think he could go along the way of Dennis Rodman. He's got a little bit of Dennis Rodman about him. He's got the piercings, he's got the haircut. I just thought that Pete Carroll can keep him under wraps,
yeah,
so to speak, in the off-season. And DK focuses on the goal ahead, which obviously is the Super Bowl.
You know, the other thing that does it about him as well, you know when you think, oh, I'm going to buy a jersey?
Yeah.
You don't want a boring jersey. The fact he's number 14.
Yeah.
Helps you. He's a wide receiver who's number 14.
Yeah. Fumbleites. This is one of my pet gripes, okay? If you're going to buy a DK Metcalf jersey,
yeah,
don't buy one that fits. Don't buy an extra large.
Get a small one.
To buy a small one. Because if you're going to wear a DK Metcalf, wear a medium so that it makes you somehow look like you fit a DK Metcalf jersey like he does. No one fits a football jersey better than DK Metcalf. Don't go all baggy and get an XXL because you think it's trendy. No, 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 no. Get a small or a medium.
Yeah, the good thing about that is now, of course, the way they used to be made when Reebok did it, they were huge baggy things.
Yeah.
The good thing about the Nike ones now is they are made to fit, aren't they? So you are supposed to wear them almost as a T-shirt.
T-shirt, yeah.
But they're not supposed to be hanging off you. The thing is, if you watch an NFL game, they're not actually hanging off the players anymore. They're all taped in and they're all as tight as anything, aren't they? So get yourself a smaller one.
Yeah, they put double-sided sticky tape on the shoulder pads.
There you go.
They put double-sided sticky tape on the shoulder pads. Then they pull the jersey over so it's nice and tight, so it's stuck, so no one can grab you. And then what they do, they put layers of double-sided sticky tape on the vest of the player. So they wrap it round. So then the jersey's tight and then tucked into the pants.
Yeah. So you can't grab it.
So you can't grab it. So you can't grab it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about, we started off in Miami, seeing as we're in Seattle, let's talk about their divisional rivals, the San Francisco 49ers, Darren. There's talk this week that it's time for Jimmy Garoppolo to go out the door.
Well, I had a conversation with our mutual friend Internet Rich in the week, because he at the minute is a very conflicted Browns fan. And he's looking at it, and he's worked out that Baker Mayfield is good, but he's not good enough. But he's good enough to keep the Browns in that area in the NFL where you don't want to be, between 7-9 and probably 10-6, because you're never going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl from there. And you're never going to get picks in the draft good enough to keep you or make you any better. So he's worried about that. And I said to him, I'm having the same thought as a Bears fan. They're about an 8-8 team. And they look with this group, they're going to be an 8-8 team for the next 4 or 5 years. And they're going to get gradually worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I've always been of the opinion, you either want to be really good in the NFL or crap.
Yeah.
So you can either get a really good player in the draft to get better, or you're up there already. But that middle of the road, there's no place for anybody in that middle of the road group in the NFL. And I wonder whether, and I know they got to the Super Bowl last year, but that's a talent-laden roster. Garoppolo looks like he's probably going to do that with San Francisco, doesn't he? They'll be okay, but they won't ever really stink. Because they're only stinking this year because everybody's hurt. You know, you can't lose the number of players. Kittle, Bosa, Garoppolo. You can't lose everybody and be any good. They've got about 4 running backs on the IR. So, I agree. I look at that and I think... And they flirted with Brady last year, didn't they? They went, shall we go and get Tom Brady and then we'll stick with Jimmy G? I think this is the year they can get out of it as well, the contract. So, but that got me thinking bigger picture. There's probably... I don't know, 8-9 teams this year that maybe need a quarterback. There's probably 3 in the draft. And then the ones that are elsewhere, you're thinking, well, I don't want any of them. Because I look at good teams.
Oh, hang on.
You do.
Yeah, that was me. Sorry.
I look at good teams. How long's Rivers going to play for Indy? Oh. They look like they need a change. The Bears need one, despite the fact they've won five games. Quarterback position's awful. All the ones down the bottom. You know, did the Jets this year finish with Sam Darnold and go, well, we tried that and it didn't work? I think Darnold's a decent quarterback. I don't think there's anybody to throw to.
Mm.
Do the Giants go, we've got the first or second pick. We can get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. So we're going to bomb Daniel Jones, even though we've only had him 3 years. The Redskins drafted Dwayne Haskins, but they need another one already. There's so many teams. When do Pittsburgh get a quarterback to replace Ben Roethlisberger? Can't go on forever. You know, there are so many teams, Vern, at the minute, who you look at it and go, they need a quarterback, and there just aren't enough to go round. And Garoppolo and the 49ers must be in that position. And I just wonder whether, because of that, they stick with him because they're thinking he's probably as good as we're going to get at the moment. It's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't see them upgrading with anyone that's around at the moment unless you take pity on people like Sam Darnold and your lad in New York and say, okay, the reason why they've been garbage is because they haven't got the ability, or the rest of the team hasn't got the ability to make them shine, offensive line, running back, wide receiver. Because if you can't establish an offense, your quarterback's going to struggle either way, you know. I keep thinking about how Patrick Mahomes was introduced to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we've got to doff our cap to the patience of Andy Reid, because the way he was introduced, they let Alex Smith take the helm for a year, a full year. And that's why I'm a bit nervous about Tua Tagovailoa taking over in Miami. Let him watch Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a winning record. Alex Smith was all right at the Kansas City Chiefs. There were many opportunities for Andy Reid to say, okay, let's pull him, let's put the kid in. But no, they let him learn the system. And it takes more than a year to learn an offensive system if you're going to stay with that team. So he had the playbook. Apparently, by all accounts, Alex Smith was very gracious in the way that he led the way for Patrick Mahomes. And then as soon as Mahomes took to the field, it was like he was wearing his favourite pair of gloves. It was perfect. So I think teams have to be patient. But then the question is, how much patience do you have as a general manager or owner of an NFL team? And I think the 49ers, you're right, Darren, there isn't an upgrade from Jimmy G with what's available.
No, I don't think so. And I think this is going to be a problem for a few. But, you know, the more you think about it, they were absolutely battered, the Green Bay Packers, for taking Jordan Love in the first round. And not, you know, the popular thought was, and we were probably guilty of this on this podcast. I'm not being hypocritical. We probably said the same thing at the time, that it would have been better in the short term to get a playmaker for Aaron Rodgers to try and get them another Super Bowl. But the more you think about it, and the more quarterback issues that pop up, the fact that they've spent a first round pick now on a quarterback who they will sit for a year or two, which worked brilliantly when Rodgers backed up Brett Favre. It's something they've done before. That decision looks a lot more sensible now as the year goes. They're still putting up points. They thought about trading for Will Fuller. So it's obvious you can go out there and get yourself a wide receiver if that's what you need. But they've got the quarterback, and there's a lot of teams that would swap places with them now and try and do that. So it's the most important position, I think, on any sports team in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any sport you can play where another position is as vital as the quarterback position to an NFL team.
And before the keyboard warriors pipe up, we mean team sports, not individual sports.
Yeah. On a team sport, you know, obviously Roger Federer is more important to his tennis racket than, you know, but you know what I mean? I mean, I can't think of it. You know, I've thought about this a long time. You think about a basketball team and there's only five of them, but they all contribute. And you think about a pitcher in baseball, it's a rotation. You know, pitcher makes what, 26, 28, 30 starts during a baseball season. That's all. They play 162 games. He's the only player who's guaranteed to touch the ball every time that you're on offense. You know, every time the snap goes to him. I mean, like, people are going to say, oh, no, sometimes they take the quarterback out and run the wildcat. Yeah, I get that, but you know what I mean. And you've only got to see the way a team plummets the minute they haven't got a quarterback.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They're not to go around.
But Darren, let's go back to the 49ers, right? Let's have a little bit of a reminisce again. We were sat in the the media section of the stadium, and we're looking down, and the confetti's gone off. I think you and I were in agreement that the San Francisco 49ers would be hanging around
for
quite a while at the, you know, in the playoffs. And it's sad to see players like Bosa, Kittle, all of their running backs, every single one of them, go down with an injury or COVID protocol has kicked in and they're not able to play. It's quite sad because we talked about the Miami Dolphins and what they mean to the UK. The 49ers are the same. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, those are three iconic players that if you were into American football in the 80s, early 90s, you knew their names. You knew who they were. Their number was iconic to you.
But there has to be a reason. It's one of the things I've got in the little numbers section. There has to be a reason why a team gets to a Super Bowl, loses, and then finds it really hard to get back. And we both said, and we both, you know, we'll both hold our hands up here. From my own personal standpoint, I thought there's far too much talent on the roster. They've got a young, hungry coaching staff that's uber talented. They'll get back, they'll certainly be right in the mix at the end of the year. I can't work out whether it's just pure coincidence that all the bad luck's befallen them, or that there is some reason. Let me tell you this. The 49ers, Vernon, are the 22nd defending conference champion with a losing record after 9 games. Of the previous 21, only the Eagles in 2018, the Seahawks in 2015, and the Chargers in 1995 came back to make the playoffs that year.
Wow.
So you're talking 21 conference champions with a losing record after 9 games and only 3 got in the playoffs. And that's the position that the 49ers find themselves in at the minute. Now, it can't be fluke because it's happening too often. Something must happen within the locker room, the coach's office, whatever it is, after you lose a Super Bowl that makes it ridiculously difficult to come back. I don't know whether it's just the overall disappointment of losing the game casts a shadow over everybody and it takes them a while to get going again. Whether one or two start pointing fingers, so the chemistry that was good the year before goes. Maybe you spend a little bit too long partying because you actually got there, so that by the time you come back again, physically you're playing catch-up. I don't know. Maybe the strength of schedule goes against you a little bit as well. But there has to be some kind of correlation from a Super Bowl team losing to not being particularly good the year after.
Well, one thing that always happens is coaching staff, and I don't mean in particular the head coach, but assistant coaches and their assistant coaches, they become the ones to go and get, don't they, when a team made the Super Bowl.
So in maybe San Francisco's case, that didn't happen. Yeah, Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator, hot commodity supposedly at the end of last year for a head coaching job, but he's still there. The offensive side of things, it's Kyle Shanahan, isn't it?
Yeah, but generally that's what happens, is the bottom feeders come looking for food, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And they kind of, I mean, look how many times Bill Belichick's had to revamp his offense or defense. I know that his offensive coordinator's been there for a while, and he probably will be. I think he'll take over from Belichick when he decides to call it a day. I think that's the deal that's already been done, to be honest with you. But they do come circling. The vultures do come circling once a team has made it to the Super Bowl. There's no better example, Darren, and I think you'll agree, than the Atlanta Falcons and their demise since they blew a 23-point lead against, was it 23 points? Something 28 like points, something like that, against the Patriots in the Super Bowl in Houston.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder sometimes whether it's the manner in which you lose and then people in the room stop believing to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn's a defensive coach, isn't he? And all of a sudden you blow it in that way. And I think about the Carolina Panthers, who got there for Super Bowl 50 for Cam Newton and then lose to Denver, who had a quarterback who couldn't even throw the ball, you know, the game, but they still lost. And maybe you then start to second guess what the theory was. Last year, you know, the Niners had the game in the bag. They were a few first downs away from winning the Super Bowl and they couldn't get over the line. Maybe those people in the room then check out mentally a little bit and go, well, we should have won that.
That's a really good point, because I've watched that game back a couple of times now and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, this game was San Francisco's for the taking.
Yeah.
It really was. It doesn't matter how many times Patrick Mahomes can run up and down the sidelines, G'ing up his offense and getting the defense fired up. The game was in the grasp of the 49ers.
Yeah. There has to be something. I'd love someone to do a study to work out what it is that takes you from the best in your conference to struggling to even get back to the playoffs the year after. And the Niners aren't going to get there. The NFC, the division they're in with the Rams. I mean, they're another one. I mean, the Rams went to the Super Bowl, didn't they, against New England and lost a tight game. Never looked like they were going to win it, but they lost a tight game. And then the following year, they struggled. And you're thinking McVay, Goff, Gurley, Donald, you know, they're all right, they're stacked. No, they weren't the year after. That roster starts to look different.
Mm.
Anyway, let me give you the rest of these numbers.
Always a high point of the fumble.
Yeah, so I've got four left. I'm trying to work out which way to do it in, because they're all quite good, actually. I quite like all of them this week. So Tua, who you mentioned earlier, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback now of the Miami Dolphins. It's the first left-handed quarterback to start an NFL game since Kellen Moore in 2015. There are no Keggy Henders in the NFL apart from Tua.
Wow.
And you know what? It totally changes the value of your offensive line. Because conventionally, a right-handed quarterback needs the left tackle to protect his blind side.
That's right.
Right tackle in Miami is now the important man because he's throwing from the other side. So Tua's blind side is the right tackle. So that's an important one. That you need to look at the Miami right tackle now to make sure he's elite, not necessarily the left.
God.
That's good. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, here we go.
5 touchdown passes against the Jets last week.
Yeah.
One game. The Jets have thrown 4 all season.
Oh, Sam Darnold. Come on, baby.
5 in a game for Patrick Mahomes, 4 all season for the beleaguered Jet. David Tosin's team, Dave's team. Right, this will surprise you. The marquee franchise in the NFL, the one they all follow. We all want to be like them, the New England Patriots. Last drafted a Pro Bowler in 2013.
No.
Patriots last drafted a Pro Bowler in 2013, Jamie Collins. So when you look at it now, we stick it on Cam's doorstep and all that, they genuinely are losing talent. They're not as talented as they need to be. And you can only go so far if you're Bill Belichick. So not drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013, Jamie Collins.
I think that team deserves more props than, I know they get a lot, but that's a statistic that's blown me away.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of the number of Pro Bowlers on, say, the Chiefs and the 49ers, the two Super Bowl teams last year.
Yeah.
Kind of looking at that thinking, that's a, but they're having to go and find it in the in free agency. And
wow.
If they've got a Pro Bowler, that's the way it is. Stephon Gilmore is the obvious one, best corner in the league, but he was drafted by Buffalo. He's now at New England, but he wasn't one of theirs. And the last one, Dallas have had 32 drives, offensive drives, since Dak Prescott was injured. And they've managed 1 touchdown on 32 drives.
That's depressing.
Yeah. If you're a Dallas fan, there's no end in sight, I'm afraid. You're Jerry Jones, right?
Yeah.
If you're Dallas, you're probably not going to win another game all year. Fair? Especially not with the fella they've got playing quarterback at the minute. So what are they at the minute? 2-6.
Yeah.
Which is probably about what they're worth, 2-6 at the minute. The Dallas are 2-6. So let's say they go 2-14 and they're in the mix with the Jags and the Jets and all that.
Yeah.
Will Jerry Jones, if he gets the chance, draft Trevor Lawrence, who is supposed to be the best prospect coming out since Andrew Luck? He's meant to be even better than Joe Burrow, who's making a massive impact with Cincinnati. If you're Jerry Jones, do you pay Dak and keep him as your quarterback? Or do you bomb Dak and do you draft Trevor Lawrence if you get the chance? That is the million-dollar question.
Because it's Jerry Jones, we don't know the answer. However, I would try and get as many... They're on for a rebuild. It's as simple as that. So I would try and get Trevor Lawrence, yes, because I think you're right, he is a very talented quarterback. I've been really impressed watching him over at Clemson. I think he's superb. He's got patience in the pocket, which you just can't teach. And I would try and get as many draft picks as possible for Dak Prescott.
Yeah. But I think contractually you're struggling. Because he's only on the franchise tag. So he's not got a long-term deal. So Dak could essentially walk and you could draft Trevor Lawrence and go in a different direction. That would then alter that quarterback landscape, because then, provided you're happy that he's healthy after the injury, there's a whole load of teams out there that think Dak Prescott makes us better.
Which we've just talked about.
So that something like that could be the game changer. That could be the domino situation, couldn't it?
Yeah, the knock-on effect of that decision could be massive for a lot of teams. Because yes. I think they'll definitely get rid of Gallup. They'll definitely get rid of one or two more receivers. I think they'll try and build the franchise on CD Lamb, even though he plays on the inside. Ezekiel Elliott's not going anywhere. They've tried over many, many years to build that offensive line, which is now crocked, and it's getting slower.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Darren, you could strip it down all day. At the end of the day, the fact is that they're shite.
Yeah.
In every aspect of the game.
It's a technical term. It's probably one thing they're going to use in the war room on draft day. Stephen Jones turns to Jerry Jones in his Texas drawl and says, "We're shite."
Hey, Jerry, we're shite.
Goddamn shite. But I also think the flip side of that, and it's another persuasive argument, is that if you're Jerry Jones and you're 2-14, and there's two or three quarterbacks coming out that people want, and you've got Dak, just think what you could get for the pick. If that pick enables you to take Trevor Lawrence, when you think about the kind of ransoms that, you know, Washington gave up to get RG3 and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you could look at that and go, that could essentially bring the kind of haul of draft picks that they got all those years ago when they traded Herschel Walker to the Vikings, and that triggered the Jimmy Johnson Super Bowl run that ran into Barry Switzer. So they could do it one of two ways. You either go and get a generational talent at quarterback, or you accept that you've got a pretty good NFL quarterback who was having a really great season before he got hurt, and then parlay the pick into numerous first rounders over the next 2 or 3 years and rebuild it that way. It's fascinating, isn't it? And it could happen. They could be the one team that's got the quarterback position essentially sorted. Who stink because of the injury.
Yeah.
And then off you go.
Yeah, amazing. Like I said, the knock-on effect of that decision is huge.
Well, listen, we're Bears fans. If I thought that they could start next year with Dak Prescott, the quarterback, I'd be delighted.
I'd take that.
Absolutely. So straight away, you think, well, that could be the answer to their problem. But I think Jerry would keep him and trade the pick.
Yeah. All right, Dan, any more numbers before we say goodbye?
No, that's all of them for this week. Other than the fact that the other number is now that we're going to be without you for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Allegedly, I'm going to be unavailable, uncontactable.
Yeah. You need a break from it.
I'm tired. The fumble, you know, it wears me down, Darren. I'll be honest with you. These numbers are just mind-blowing, and I've got to rebuild.
I've been Googling, and I've heard that Wales is great this time of year.
I'll see if I can get there.
Yeah, but listen, just be careful, my friend, because when you're not with me, it can be a jungle out there.
Hey! Well, we will see what happens. But Darren, I'm not worried in the slightest, because I know the fumble ship is sailing, it's riding the crest of the wave of the NFL.
What I would say is we're missing you already. And wherever you're going and whatever you're going to do, we wish you the best of luck.
Cheers, pal.
All I would say is, if you come back to record the next one and your breath smells like a sheep's backside, take precautions before we record. I would personally like to wish you all the best. And if, over the course of the next few weeks, I get the chance to vote for you to do anything, I will be doing that.
Right.
Our friendship will remain. But because I love you so much, I will vote. I will vote.
Well, just an aside for legal reasons, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I hope you like water. I hope you like cold. I hope you like bizarre tasting things. But apart from that, have a great holiday wherever you're going and whatever you do.
Cheers, pal. Thanks very much, Darren. Appreciate that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the next time that we'll speak will probably be the first week of December after my holiday.
I'm looking forward to already.
All right, good man. We have to decide how you're going to look after my fantasy football team whilst I'm away.
Well, I need your login details for a start, which I've not got.
Right, okay.
I'm 7-1, so I'll look after it very well.
Yeah, you are 7-1, Darren, but let's look in the points against column, right? You've got the least amount of points that have been scored against you. I think someone else has got like 10 more points in the points against column. I'm just saying that, you know, you've played weaker teams. You played the teams when they've had an off week. I had 155 points this weekend, right? And you
watched. I can't believe it took you this long to mention it.
I know. And what you watch this week, I guarantee I'll get 86.
You will with the team I'm going to put out for you.
There it is.
What I would say is we're 1-2 in our conference.
So hang on. So if...
And I'm going to lose this week, I think. I'm playing Chris, one of Crossy's lads this week, Chris Martinez. Chris has had a terrible year, but he's going to beat me out of sight this week because I've got a few out and he's had Devante Adams get 23 last night. So he's projected to beat me by about 20 points. So we could end this weekend. I could be second to you because you'll go above me on points scored. So, although I beat you when we played.
You beat me. You beat
like
me.
I say, I've been playing crap teams every week. I've played some of So take that back. So, yeah, but I will endeavour. I promise you, I will pick you the best team. And look, last week, you texted me last week. I was sat in the house. You went, I've got three. What do you think? And the one I went for, a really good night. And the other two, I said, try him. Damien Harris, you went for.
Yeah.
England, the other two, I'd leave them. So I will give you my legitimate help. But I'm going to pick the best team, I think, every week. I'm not going to throw any fixtures. And I can guarantee you, my friend, that when you return, you will be in the playoffs.
All right, nice. Thank you, Darren.
Playoffs, and that's it. What we need to do then is work out what percentage of any winnings you get for my contribution during the season. Try to see who you're going to play. And then we'll look at your play while you're gone. Because that's good. Because Crossy might be able to cross my palm, you know.
Yes.
So.
Well, let's take a look at the schedule, shall we?
I don't play you again, put it that way.
No.
No. There's only four games after this.
Right, okay.
So who have you got then still to play?
Right, so I've got Scott Rimmer this week, yeah, which I'll be able to manage. These are the games that I won't be able to manage.
Okay.
Chris Martinez.
Yeah.
Alex Cottingham.
Yeah.
And Michael Cross.
Chris is playing me this week and he's going to win. And when he does that, he will go to 4-5 and he's right in the playoff hunt. So he needs to win that. He'll be playing hard. Alec Cottingham at the minute, Cotters, he's 3-5. So you should, he's been struggling. And Scott Rimmer, Scott's 5-3. Now, Scott's 5-3, he's not bad, Scott. So you've got three teams all in the other conference for, not in our league.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But you're 6-2. You've got a game, you're projected to win this, you know, because there's a thing you can go on where it says projected finish, and you're projected to win.
Well, the thing is, yeah. All right. Well, let's chat off air, so to speak, because
yeah,
I've got a couple of decisions to make here and there with a couple of players.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway, Darren, thank you as always, my friend. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely loved it. Looking forward to getting you back already. Take care. Enjoy.
Cheers, pal. This has been a Shooting Shark production. If you see me, or next time you see me, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, give us some help. That's all I can say. All right, all the best, Fumbleites. Take care. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.